Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good morning,
Diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7. The Game.
Come on. It was a good little weekend in sports. On Saturday, you had the Miracle on Ice anniversary. It was the 40th anniversary of that historic moment.
11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
Shout out to NBC for that audio. You got spring training that just started. Mauricio Dubon and Joey Bart hitting a couple of yaks for the Giants. And I'm telling you, like, I'll just say this right now out of the gate. Joey Bart's going to need to be called up as soon as possible. I don't care about that whole notion that you don't want to put too much on his plate too early. Call him up already. Get him up there. Put him in the lineup. I do not care. I am fine with whatever repercussions are supposed to come for that. Whether you're risking injury, whether you're risking putting too much on his plate, kind of like we're putting too much on Jordan Poole's at the beginning of his Warrior tenure. Like, I don't care about any of that. Just call Joey Bart up. I know it's been one spring training game, but I've seen enough beforehand to already know that I want to see this guy get called up. You had something go on in the hockey world, which I'll also talk about a little later on in the program. You have an alias for Madison Bumgarner. If you haven't heard this story on Madison Bumgarner, I know he's a Diamondback now, so over here in the Bay Area, we're not supposed to care anymore, but there is just one more story involving the legend of Madison Bumgarner, which I also want to get to. And of course, we had Fury versus Wilder, which really capped off a terrific Saturday night. But I do want to start off with the Warriors game against the Pelicans yesterday. 115-101 was your final as New Orleans. Well, really, they kind of put it on the Warriors. And Zion Williamson, this phrase has been used way too much, I guarantee it. But it's true, this cliche. But he's really looked like he looks like a man amongst boys out there. Like he, like that play that they had when he already got the foul and he was shooting two free throws and he missed the second one, and then he gets his own rebound, puts it up again, misses the layup, then Damian Lee comes down with it, then Zion Williamson still tries to get the ball back, takes it out of Damian Lee's hands, puts it up, Looney fouls him, and then he gets the and one, scores 2 points. He ends up missing the following free throw, so he didn't complete the three-point play. But there were just plays like that that were constantly happening in that entire game. And I think what was interesting to me about watching this game yesterday is that the Warriors were in it till the third quarter. That's when really things started to blow over. Like, the third quarter was when things started to – that's when the team started to get tired and Zion could really start to take advantage. But the thing that I found interesting, though, was I looked back on that first matchup that the Warriors had against the Pelicans earlier in the season, and it was the first Warrior win of the season. The Pelicans were without guys like Drew Holiday, Derek Favors, and, of course, Zion. And the interesting part to me is how different that team looks with a guy of that stature. With a guy, like, when Zion is on the floor, it makes a noticeable difference. And when he was off the floor yesterday, he was a plus 20, by the way, when he was on the floor. Drew Holiday also having a really good game. But Zion Williamson, though, when he's on the floor, it just makes all the difference in the world. And I think that if the Warriors somehow in this top five lottery pick, if they can get a guy who people feel like will be a game changer, like, you got guys like James Wiseman, Obi Toppin, you got guys like Anthony Edwards. Those three are the names I'm hearing where if you put them on an NBA floor, they're the types of guys that will just look different. And that's what was said about Zion Williamson. People had question marks for Zion just because he was a little bit bigger. A lot bit bigger. He looks like Khalil Mack in a basketball uniform. But I think that if you can get a guy like that, you're starting five, like, not like Zion, obviously, because there's not going to be another player like him. But if you can get one of those three guys, I think either Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, or Obi Toppin, I think you'll be getting a guy instantly who can make an impact when they're on the floor. When Zion Williamson was off the floor, their team didn't look that great. As a matter of fact, that's when the Warriors were able to use their aggressiveness and use their energy to take over a little bit. But overall, man, this Zion guy's like, he's just too much. He's just too much. Chilton Autobody text line 95795, 888-957-9570, of course, if you want to get in on the conversation. But one guy on the Warriors who did have another pretty good game for them, his second game in a row where he's been pretty efficient, was Juan Toscano-Anderson.
Poole gives it up down the lane. Toscano-Anderson shot's good, and a foul. He's going to get continuation. He heard the whistle as he was falling down, and he banked it in.
That is what you call awareness.
Yep.
Now, you can catch all the games here on 95.7 The Game. But Juan Toscano-Anderson, again, 28 minutes, 6 for 10 shooting, 16 points. He had the highest plus-minus total at a plus 6. And like I've mentioned on this show before, when guys are way in the minus, when they're down like that for a majority of the game, it shows a little bit. But when guys are in the plus, when they lose like that, that shows a lot. And when Juan Toscano-Anderson was in the game, he was a plus 6, which led the Warriors. And, of course, he had 8 rebounds, 8 of which were defensive, and then 3 assists. But what I saw from him yesterday and what we've seen from him constantly is just, for one, he's aggressive. You know, him and Kai Bowman both, they're very aggressive. That's at least what we're learning here from the G League Warriors. But to me, you know, there were a couple of plays that he made on Zion, too, where you could tell that Juan Toscano-Anderson, he's a pretty smart basketball player. There was a moment when Zion Williamson tried making a move to the basket, and Toscano-Anderson was at least able to get his hand in there and try and get the ball away and do as much as he could to prevent Zion Williamson from making a shot. I think Zion Williamson got the ball back and got it up, but he didn't make it and was fouled and then got to the free throw line for 2 shots. But there are certain little moments like that where you're like, damn, this guy's actually, he's actually a pretty smart basketball player. And here he is after the game talking about this matchup versus Zion and the Pelicans.
On your team, and you had to play up a position, sort of. You had 8 rebounds tonight. Are you comfortable playing, like, sort of a semi-stretch four. You know, obviously you guys were shorthanded tonight, but playing up a position.
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes you have a disadvantage defensively, but then you have to find your advantages offensively, and so that's where the idea of small ball comes in, right? So I just try to be versatile and find my value in different positions on the floor. If I can play different positions, then there's more minutes available for me. So that's always something that to try to be versatile and just find different spots on the floor where a coach can put me at.
Juan, how do you feel your game has grown over the last couple of weeks just getting extended minutes?
A lot. I mean, I feel like there's one thing you can't simulate no matter how much you work on your game, and that's game situations. So with more playing time and more game experience, I become more comfortable. And, you know, I just learn every day from these guys. I'm learning from greats. You know, I got a great coach, great teammates. So I'm just here. I'm a sponge soaking up a lot of knowledge from these guys.
Steph was back at practice yesterday. What kind of energy does he bring? He's about a week away. How excited are you guys?
I mean, speaking for myself, I'm very excited. Just to compete with and against him is pretty cool. He's a great player. He's a generational talent. So, I mean, you're being challenged every moment on the floor. You can't leave him open. You have to react to everything he does. So, for me, I know my strong points are on the defensive end. So, I love guarding him because, you know, I'm being challenged every possession. So, it's great.
Kobe's memorial is tomorrow. You guys, I believe, are going to be practicing during that. How are you going to be, you know, the memorial happening, you know, while you guys are practicing?
I think you just compartmentalize those thoughts for the time being. It was hard for me to, you know, accept that Kobe passed away. He was my favorite player, and he's just one of those guys that you think is going to live forever. So not to dismiss who he is or what's going on tomorrow, but at the end of the day, we have something to do. We have a job to do. And I don't want that to sound like I'm insensitive to his memorial. Like I said, he was my favorite player, and I still can't believe it. But, you know, we got to be at practice, and, you know, maybe we can talk about it in the locker room after and so forth.
Obviously, there's a lot of good players in the NBA, but what was your first take on Zion, and how tough is he out there?
Man, he's a monster. He's obviously, you know, from a physical standpoint, he's huge, but when I really realized like how athletic he was, he took off from outside the box on a dunker spot, a dunk. And I'm just like, wow, this kid's athletic. So that was the first time where it was just like eye-opening. I mean, we all see how huge he is physically, but I think he's got a lot of potential, man. He's got a lot of upside. So I'm excited for him. You know, I wish him the best.
So on Saturday when I was doing the show here with Kyle Madsen, one thing we were looking forward to as far as this Warriors and Pelicans game, you knew the Warriors probably aren't going to win. I mean, they've lost, what, 21 of their last 24 now, which is kind of brutal, obviously. But one thing we were looking forward to was the matchup, hopefully, that you were going to see between Zion Williamson and Draymond Green. But Draymond, where were you at?
Day-day!
I'll tell you where he was at. He was at Fury Wilder, and he was out with a pelvic contusion, is what they called it, I think, or at least a pelvis injury. And you know what? People were a little bit, you know, distressed about that, and kind of it bothered them that Draymond wasn't there. And you see a guy like Steph who was on the sideline, like kind of teaching his young guys, and you wanted Draymond to be in there to try and guard Zion. But if you had a chance to go to Deontay Wilder versus Tyron Fury, the second edition of that, I'm sorry, but I'd be taking that chance all the way. I know it's supposed to be team first guy. You're supposed to, you know, it's always, look, I got to be there for my guys. But look, there's this one instance where there's a fight going on in Vegas, and this fight just so happens to be one of the more historic heavyweight bouts that we've seen in a while. But saw Draymond ringside when I was watching a couple of fights on the undercard there, and it's like, oh, that's what he was doing. And of course there are the pictures that surface, and that's what got everyone all worked up about it. But I do want to talk about that next. Fury versus Wilder. Want to know on the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795 or 888-957-9570. If you watched it, what were your thoughts? What was going through your head? Did you have Wilder at first? I want to get into that. There are a couple of more stories out of the sports world that I think are, one of them is super cool, and one of them is super funny. And I'll get to both of those next, as well as what I thought about Fury versus Wilder. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. With three generations, 65 years of experience, and seven Bay Area locations gives us the winning edge. When you succeed, we succeed. That's Golden State Lumber at goldenstatelumber.com. From the 209 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, I had Fury winning, but not like that. You could tell Wilder wasn't 100%. His legs looked bad. It was the fourth round where you were watching his legs and you realize, all right, this dude, he is, I mean, he's completely out of it at this point. Like, this is just going to get, like, it's just what you're wondering when Fury was going to knock him down. And look, I mean, not going to consider myself an expert, but I watched like every single video that was on ESPN Plus in the week up leading up to it, like all the ring science stuff. So I'm practically a boxing expert at this point. Like what was funny about that weekend and all the analysis that was leading up to the fight. And if you watch the first one, the first fight with Fury and Wilder, it was a little. It wasn't that entertaining in the first few rounds. You know, you had Fury get a few little licks in. You had Wilder get his licks in. And then, of course, when Wilder knocked him down and he got back up and Fury started coming back toward the end, that's when everything started to pick up. And this analysis from a lot of people, including myself leading up to this Saturday, was that – and this is just – it just goes to show – that there are the very few boxing fans who legitimately know what they're talking about, and there are the very kind of evergreen boxing fans who will watch the big fights when they're on, but really don't know what they're watching, and I can put myself in that category. But the whole thing was they were looking back on that first fight, and they're like, all right, when Wilder gets that one punch, Fury's not getting back up. So I'm taking Wilder. Immediately, it's just, I'm taking Wilder. Just because he has that one-punch strength and they don't really know much about what else Tyson Fury can do. But at the beginning, you saw that it was too much when the 6'9", 273-pound 31-year-old was doing those little, like, how quick does he move? When he's doing those little feints, like, how is Deontay Wilder supposed to know when a punch is even coming at that point? You know, Teddy Atlas was on ESPN, of course, the famed boxing analyst, and he mentioned that Wilder, if he doesn't have that one punch, then really he doesn't have much. And I don't know if I can just necessarily agree with that, but after looking at that, if you're just watching that one fight as a one-fight sample size, then you'd think, well, what was he supposed to do against a guy like Tyson Fury who was moving that quick? You know, just throwing out that left hand, boom, boom, pop, pop. It was wild. And I really, I thought overall for everything that the promotion was giving us, like, I thought, you know, Wilder going out to Super Bowl Radio Row and kind of going around and talking up this fight, Tyson Fury just being Tyson Fury. If you watched anything on ESPN, he made it very entertaining and he wasn't going to underestimate anything that Wilder could do. But I thought everything leading up to the fight made it all worth it. And it kind of sucked beforehand because he had the heavyweight bout and the guy from and the local guy from Vallejo ended up getting knocked out right beforehand. I believe that was in like the fifth or sixth round. But that match leading up to it and Tyson Fury coming out in a robe and a crown. And also, if you were watching any of the undercard, the whole time when, I mean, they had helicopter, Joe Tessitore is making this very clear on the broadcast, they had helicopter coverage over their houses where they were staying. And they were, you know, it kind of looked like the OJ thing, where it's just you're watching these guys get into their car and drive to the MGM so they could get ready. And the entire time when they were in the back room, they were showing Deontay Wilder pacing back and forth, not really getting into the zone. And then you look on the other side, they split screened it, and you had Tyson Fury who was just sitting on a leather couch just chilling. And Lennox Lewis and Andre Ward were both making the point that, like, you know, there are two different people. There are two different types of boxers, two different types of ways to get ready for a fight. Some don't really relax. Some kind of got to, you know, take a couple hours to prepare. Whereas Tyson Fury, he was relaxed throughout until, like, really the last half hour leading into the fight. But I just couldn't, like, that whole, the theatrics of it, especially at the beginning, when he comes out in the crown and, you know, he's carried out on a throne and then he gets down from the stairs. It takes a while. And then Deontay Wilder let out by D Smoke, who won the Rhythm and Flow competition on Netflix, who just came out with an album, actually. I recommend you listen to it. But he came out in all that big costume that was lighting his eyes up red and everything. Like, I thought that was, I thought leading up to it was awesome. And then I thought the fight lived up to the billing. I kind of wish Wilder put up a little more of a fight. And then, of course, afterward, Tyson Fury started singing American Pie at the end, which people took issue with. And I have an issue with you if you don't like that song. Tyson Fury's voice, not that bad. But I have an issue with you if you do not like the song that he was singing. That is a damn, that is one of the greatest songs of all time. How dare you disparage that song? Maybe you were just disparaging Tyson Fury singing it and him putting the mics into all the other guys who were standing around him, and they didn't sound too good either. But I liked it. I thought it was really entertaining. I don't know if we're going to get a Fury Wilder 3. I'd hope so. I'd hope we get a third edition of it. But I can tell you this, as far as boxing goes, there hasn't been much excitement really in the heavyweight division because of the Klitschko's and everything. But the Klitschko's that you got, and then Tyson Fury ended up beating him, and then Tyson Fury was out for a while, came back, and that one fight against Wilder really, I think, started getting people to notice. People know who Deontay Wilder is. They know he's that knockout machine, but also I don't know if they were really tuning into their TVs just because they felt like there was no one else that could compete with him. But now you got Fury, you got Wilder, and the next bout that you're probably going to see is Fury versus Joshua. And in England, if that goes down, that will be like, that'll be huge. That'll be, they're already saying that they don't even know if there's a stadium that can hold enough people to want to watch that fight. Obviously, there is. There's Wembley. There are stadiums in England that will be able to hold that fight. But yeah, that's probably what you're going to be seeing next. It was just very overall entertaining. I mean, my favorite part was when, you know, Wilder clearly had him going. And like toward the end, the last three rounds, it was just a lot of Fury, you know, throwing haymakers, and basically Wilder just trying to hold on, right? Just grasping him anytime he could. But when Wilder was in the corner and they came to grabs once again, and Fury started sticking his tongue out and doing the, you know, the whole thing that he does with his tongue that he always does, that he did in that first fight when he was showboating and kind of trying to get Wilder to, you know, throw a punch at him or whatever. But man, when he was in the corner and he starts like pretending to lick the shoulder of Deontay Wilder, which was covered in blood, and Joe Tessitore, he's got the best voice of all time. He's like, could you believe it? Tyson Fury starting to lick the blood. And it's like, no, well, it didn't look like that. Then they showed it in slow-mo. Oh my gosh. That was so good. From the 650, what up, nice guy? Wilder-Fury fight was very entertaining. Fury style reminded me of an older brother threatening to hit as the little bro with those feints. Effective throughout. Drake from Mountain View. I don't know how you're supposed to combat that if you're on the opposite side of that. How are you supposed to know when that left hand is coming? You know, it was in the first round when he got that left hand to Wilder. And then you're thinking, damn, I mean, Fury got him in that one. Then the second round, it was more of the fight for Wilder. But then the third round after that, and that's when everything just kind of went downhill for Wilder and went uphill for Fury. You could tell Fury was just starting to take advantage of him. And then obviously with that right hand, getting him to the, yeah, I thought it was in the temple, but then it ended up being in the eardrum. And I mean, shout out to when you do these pay-per-view, when you actually pay for these sort of matches, because they don't really hold back, and the camera zoomed right in on that ear. And then Andre Ward and Lennox Lewis are explaining, oh yeah, he has a ruptured eardrum, and which could possibly mess up with the balance. And I totally believe everything with that, because his legs were just given out from under him. But the way that Wilder handled it at the end of the fight, though, I think that's like the type of situation where you realize, like it felt, when I'm looking back on, you know, boxing in the, like, I wasn't alive, obviously, for like the golden age of boxing, but when you look back on them and you're seeing some of these post-fight interviews, even now, some of these guys can just be super disrespectful and crazy, and you're looking at them like, yep, those are boxers. But when Wilder gave his little post-fight interview, and he basically said, like, you know, the better man won, blah, 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 all this sort of stuff, kind of gave some cliches, but overall, he didn't talk any mess. He didn't, you know, he'll look back on when his trainer throws the towel in, and he'll realize that why he did it. But he didn't really, you know, say anything that disparaging about the trainer. He just said, all right, you know, thank you, everybody, get home safe. Thank you for coming out. I thought it was, I thought it was very classy of him to do that. And then Tyson Fury comes in, says how great Deontay Wilder is, and then says, didn't I promise I'd sing you a song? And then he, you know, ended up going to sing American Pie. From the 209, Wilder's a one-punch fighter. He has no footwork. He goes for the home run punch every time, and Fury's a smarter, more technical fighter. From the 510, when someone throws feints, you keep your head moving and use your jab for distance. Man, that's the thing, though, is that's why people who don't really pay attention to it, except if you'll watch the big fights every now and then, and that's exactly what I am. I'll watch the Mayweathers versus Canelos and all that sort of thing. I'll watch those big boxing matches when they come up, but I'm not like going to act as if I'm a boxing aficionado. So if you're like me and you view boxing the way I do, and you watch that first Wilder Fury fight, you're thinking, man, I don't know if Fury's going to get up again if Wilder manages to land that one punch. And it was the constant, it was the same analysis over and over again. It's like, you know, Fury can be great for five rounds, but really all Wilder needs is that 1 second. He didn't even get a chance to get that 1 second in. That's the thing, is Fury was great, as a matter of fact, for six rounds, and Wilder just wasn't able to get anything going. And Fury just went right at him. Didn't let Wilder even take a step forward. It felt like Fury was the one that was just constantly initiating the offense in that match. I loved it. Loved every minute of it. You know, and it was cool seeing everyone courtside. You knew that Colin Cowherd, when he was in the front, like three rows, and you see him watching the fights, he was going to get posted to social media and someone was going to make fun of him about that. There's obviously a post looking at Colin Cowherd and saying how he's going to compare this to something or other. Then you had Gordon Ramsay in the background, Mike Tyson, then out of nowhere, Steve Harvey sitting there with, take off the sunglasses, Steve Harvey, come on. From the 559, hey, nice guy, word has it that the Astros are seriously trying to stop the A's fans, bleacher drummers, stopping for games at the Coliseum. Haven't the Astros caused enough trouble in baseball? What's your opinion? Well, did you see that, what happened over the weekend? People already made signs at that first spring training game. This is so ironic, but the Astros had their security take away those signs. So the Astros are stealing signs, but it just so happens that they're stealing signs from the crowd because the crowd has the signs. So I like this they, and the word is true that they are trying to really take away the drummers and the bleachers. That is true. I read something up on that, but I don't know what's to come with this Astros situation. The next month, I think there's going to be a lot of complaining going on in the next month and beyond for what's to come in this season, because there's going to be a lot of trolling that should be done, but baseball is baseball, and baseball doesn't like fun, and baseball wants to protect its players. And, you know, if they feel like signs are really protecting the players, then fine. The only one that signs truly should be bothering is the person who's sitting behind the person who has the signs, because that's annoying. It's when someone has a sign in front of you and then you can't see. It's like, sorry, I don't care if it's your birthday. I don't need ESPN to get you on TV just because it's your birthday. Put the sign down and let me watch the game. How about that? Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 from the 650. Wilder Fury remind me of a young Pac versus Marquez. Fury was like Marquez being the much better boxer from the 510. Steven from Hercules, this fight has nothing on Rocky Balboa versus Ivan Drago. If he dies, he dies. From the 415, Tyson favored coming in and leaning to his left, took all the space away from Wilder's right hand, and the 30 pounds he put on plus the distance he took away from Wilder made sure he wasn't going to go down, even if he did get hit. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, too, when a boxer comes out afterwards and doesn't really say that he wants a rematch, he just basically said Fury was a better fighter, and, you know, the great ones, they always come back, and I hope I come back. And Fury afterwards saying that Wilder will be a champion again. I don't know if another fight's going to happen for a while. It looks like Fury versus Anthony Joshua is going to be the next one. And, I mean, Fury making this interesting. He's making heavyweight boxing interesting again. I don't know about you, but I'm interested in watching it going forward for sure. There are a couple of more stories that came out over the weekend, one involving the NHL and one involving Madison Bumgarner. Both of them, where one of them is very cool, the other one is hilarious. And find out what those are next. Trust me, you'll want to stick around for the one for the NHL story, because this is one of the cooler things to happen in a while. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
The pregame show on 95.7 The Game is presented by Golden State Lumber. With locations across the Bay Area, we offer next day delivery. Now that's a winning game plan. That's Golden State Lumber at goldenstatelumber.com. Wow. A good weekend in sports. Last night, you know, wasn't the best for the Warriors. If you're a Warriors fan, you saw that match against the matchup against the Pelicans, 115-101. You had Zion in there, and he was, just doing whatever he wanted, basically. And he did what you expected. Actually, I tweeted this out. He might score 50 tonight. He might not. I don't know. Sports. So that's my prediction. That was a hot take I had for that game. But that's what it looked like at the beginning, because Zion just continues to impress. And you could tell on the broadcast how, Fitz and Azubuike were just like, they were so just amazed by seeing him live, because it's the first matchup against the Warriors that they'd seen. And it feels like that's how it would be across every single broadcast known to man. Like, every single one would be impressed with the way that he's able to seal off the guy who's trying to defend him, just and go in for whatever dunk that he wants. It must be such a nice luxury for guys like Lonzo Ball and Drew Holiday, when you just know that you got a power forward like that who can just get up and go for an alley-oop whenever you want, especially Lonzo Ball, who's very accurate when it comes to those. Speaking of which, Dream Jobs still underway. 60-second video submissions. That'll be at the end of the month is when they close off. So again, remember, the Dream Job submissions, you'll be able to submit a 60-second video with your best hot take. You could submit it to 957thegame.radio.com. But again, you've heard this before. If you haven't already, listen up and pay attention. Can't have any music going on in the background. All right, you can't have any Anderson .Paak, can't have any Am I Wrong, can't have any Alt-J, can't have any Kanye going on in the background, can't have any of that. So just be safe, do not just go into a silent room and put out your take, and I'll just say this, get straight to the point. You obviously have to mention your name and who you are and everything, but again, once you mention the name, just boom, get into the take. It should be on sports. I recommend doing it on sports, because it does have to be on a sports topic. So just 60-second video submissions, 957thegame.radio.com. So there are a couple of stories that happened over the weekend, and I'll get to the funny one in a sec, and it involves Madison Bumgarner. If you didn't see this surfaced last night as Andrew Baggerly reported on it, and all the stuff that comes from it is pretty funny. But one story that was really cool, though, over the weekend was for the and I don't really talk hockey too much on this program. I mean, if you heard me after that the Sharks and Vegas Knights game, I was going pretty crazy on the air after that game the day after. So, I mean, you know, that's when I really talked hockey for an hour, and I don't normally do it on this show, but I felt like this story, even though it's not even Bay Area related either, I felt like it's just a really cool little anecdote and something sports can bring up that's really awesome. But basically, the Hurricanes and the Maple Leafs were playing, and they were in Toronto, and this was on Saturday. And Carolina's starting goaltender, James Reimer, and the backup, Peter Mrazek, were forced out of the game due to injuries, and this was during the second period. You had about 8 minutes left in the second period when this went down. And at that point, the Hurricanes were already up 3-1 when this guy came in. And the guy that came in was the 42-year-old Zamboni driver named David Ayers, who was their emergency backup goalie. So they came in, they were up 3-1 already, then they tacked on another goal in the second, and it was 4-1. And then in the third period, the Hurricanes tacked on a couple of more goals, so it ended up being 6-3 to the Carolina Hurricanes. And David Ayers, the 42-year-old emergency backup, who is their Zamboni driver, ended up obtaining the win. He was the first emergency backup to ever do so in NHL history. He finished the game with 8 saves in 28 minutes and 41 seconds and was honored as the first star of the game. And it's really cool what they did for him. He has served as a practice goalie for the AHL's Toronto Marlies, an affiliate of the Leafs. So it's just how everything went down with this was awesome. And he'd been a little bit of a goalie before, but, you know, he'd just stayed around hockey because he likes hockey so much. And at 42 years old, they needed an emergency backup, and then he came in. And I wanted to play this because this is just, you know, pure joy in the sound of someone's voice. A guy who was able to live out his dream and be a goalie in the NHL, and not only that, but record the win. Here is David Ayers, courtesy of NBC Sports, after the game.
You get credit for the win here tonight, David. I mean, your last game of record that we could find was Allen Cup hockey 5 years ago. How would you just describe what tonight was?
It was awesome. Obviously, the time of my life out there. I've been on this ice many times without fans. Put fans in the mix, and it's a whole different game, obviously. But, hey, once in a lifetime, I'll take it.
One more hockey night in Canada. Your wife's Twitter account was hilarious as she kind of watched this all unfold. Who are you thinking of? Who would you love to say hi to?
All of them. Obviously her. I knew she was going to blow Twitter up, to be honest. But all my family, all my friends. Actually, a couple of my buddies came behind the net and they were waving at me. So that was pretty cool, too. So it's a great time.
What was some of the best things you heard here from your now new teammates in Carolina throughout this one?
These guys were awesome. And actually, the spot that settled me down, one of the guys said to me, just have fun. We don't care if you let 10 goals in. That settled me right down, and it was great.
Who was it?
It was Zahala.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Well-deserved, David. Just a wonderful night. Congratulations on the win, and enjoy soaking this one in.
Thank you. Thank you.
For the 916, got to make that into a movie, right? I mean, it'd be pretty cool. It'd be like a Rudy moment for sure. But, you know, it's just, I don't know about a movie per se, but it's something that you could for sure, like, see being in like a 30 for 30 short or something like that. The 30 for 30 is always what we turn to anytime there's a cool sports story like that. But again, 42 years old, coming in as the emergency backup when he's a Zamboni driver for the team when both the goalies go down. That's pretty damn cool. And seeing him afterwards, I recommend you watch these press conferences afterwards just to see the joy of a guy who was able to live out his sports dream. You know, like if I had to think of something for me personally, which would have been a dream, it really wouldn't have mattered between either the A's or Giants, either or, because I was going to a lot of games from both of those teams as a kid. But if I were a kid, this would be like if I was, I don't know, if I was a bullpen catcher with one of those teams until I turned, you know, 45. and then it turns out that no one on the team can catch, and they let out both their catchers on the roster, and they needed one to go in for a couple of innings to close out the game. Like, that would be something similar if I was, like, that age, and I was, you know, a bullpen catcher or something like that. I don't know. There's so much cool stuff that happens in sports every now and then. This is just happens to be one of them. Another thing that you could possibly make into a 30 for 30 short is the story of Mason Saunders. You want to know who Mason Saunders is? You might not recognize that name. Well, Mason Saunders. he's the secret rodeo identity for one Madison Bumgarner. So Madison Bumgarner is living a double life. He's a part-time rodeo guy, and he's also a pitcher, an ace, the best postseason pitcher that baseball's ever seen. And the story comes from Andrew Baggerly and Zach Buchanan of The Athletic. And it's too funny. So there's a picture that was posted to a Facebook page of Rancho Rio, which is where the arena in Arizona, in which there was a rodeo event. And these two guys just won $26,560 in a roping rodeo competition. And it was the photo. There were several photos posted to the Facebook page. But this is in December, by the way. This is at the beginning of December. But if you go and scroll through the Facebook page, you'll find a picture of a guy who's a little shorter, and he's on the left, not really smiling. And a picture on the guy and on the right is a guy who's a little taller, and he's got a smile on his face, and he's got his hands in his pockets with jeans and the whole getup. And it's Madison Bumgarner. But on that Facebook page, it says his name is Mason Saunders. And when he Madison Bumgarner obviously doesn't strike anyone as much of a social media dude. There's a lot of athletes who are like that, who just, you know, don't really want to deal with the whole social media aspect of life, which I totally understand. But he was shown the photo, and then Madison Bumgarner just says, "Oh boy, this is ruining my alias." So he said that they don't always take pictures. That was a bigger one. And then they were asking him earlier, "So has this happened before? Like, how long have you been doing this?" And he said he'd been doing this for quite some time. And then that someone in March of last year named Mason Saunders, he competed alongside a guy named Tammy Ellerman. And this was 2 days before a Cactus League spring training game against the A's. Then Bumgarner confirms, "That was me too." Has he won other events? Yeah, maybe. And it turns out that everyone recognized him. That everybody recognized old Madison Bumgarner as Mason Saunders, yet nothing came out about it. The only ones who weren't able to find out about it were the media. And the media ended up digging it up. I really want to hear from some old Giants player, someone from back in the day who knows something about this. Because this is not surprising that Madison Bumgarner would be involved in a roping rodeo competition, but it is very unexpected that he would be doing this under the name Mason Saunders. And it turns out the teams know about this stuff. You know, the GMs know about all this going on. They just didn't want to make it clear to the media, because you saw how we reacted when Madison Bumgarner got involved in a dirt biking accident, which took him out of the season for quite a bit. Like, you saw how we reacted to all of that. Like, we were wondering, like, what are you doing in the offseason doing all this stuff that you've been doing since you were a kid, that you're used to doing? Why are you allowed to do that? We need you for the season. So it's like, if you came out and you said, "Oh yeah, by the way, I'm also involved in rodeo competitions, roping cattle," I don't know if fans would be too big a fan or too big on that either. So, I don't know. Just something that I had to mention was Madison Bumgarner as the alias Mason Saunders in a roping rodeo competition as he ropes cattle. I can imagine he's incredibly good at it, too. From the 510, That backup goalie also had a kidney transplant 15 years ago and didn't think that opportunity to play would ever happen again, but it did at the age of 42. My goodness, to have a kidney transplant when he was, what, 27, maybe 28 years old even, depending on when his birthday is? Man, that's a cool story. That's a cool story, being able to have a being able to just live out your dream as the backup goalie, coming in as the emergency backup and being the first ever in history to do so, to actually record the win. Not to do so, but to actually record the win. That's pretty damn cool. His name will go down in history. I feel like that's a story that kind of slipped under the cracks over the weekend, and I just wanted to mention it. Steve Kerr, and I want to get to this because we are going to be seeing, 1 week from today, we are going to be seeing Steph Curry finally play in a Warriors uniform. And last night, you had the Warriors go down 115-101. There are a couple of guys who are out there making plays, including this guy.
Poole takes a handoff. Chest pass over to Pascal, right wing, top of the circle, back to Poole. Off a pick by Bender. Poole rotates, waits, looks, handoff Bowman. Bowman, dribble drive. Bounce pass over to Bender. Bender pump fake. Puts it on the deck. Goes up strong. Layup no good. Pascal rebounds and dunks it down.
You know, and Eric Pascal, and you know, of course you can catch that audio on 95.7 The Game every single game with the sultry sounds of Tim Roy. But Eric Pascal, he wasn't, you know, great, but he put up 13 points on 5 of 9 shooting in 31 minutes. And you expect him to be a little bit more of a scorer when you don't really have anyone scoring on the floor, which he took advantage of in the beginning. But man, some of these putbacks that he has, when he drives to the rack, it's the type of thing that can get you excited about him in the future. And you know, I don't know if he can be in the starting lineup. If he's in your starting lineup, how truly, you know, playoff caliber your team is. But if Eric Pascal's in that, like, Eric Pascal can easily be in that rotation. I'm not saying he's like the, you know, can be the sixth man of the year immediately, but as like the seventh or eighth guy, Eric Pascal's the type who can play hard defense, can get you points when you need him to get points, at least whenever they're guarding the perimeter and you need someone to get inside into the paint. He can be that guy. But he just, you know, he has certain plays where it just makes you say, wow. You know, it kind of makes you pull off a guru a little bit as I try and pull up the drop. But Steve Kerr, after the game, he talked about what it was like to face Zion Williamson and the Pelicans.
I thought he was good. He's, you know, he's explosive and strong, but he knows how to play, too. I mean, he makes really good passes out there. He recognizes double teams and obviously just scores so easily around the rim because of his power. But he's a really great young player, you know, without much experience at all. So he's only going to get better.
What did you think of Damian Lee's night?
Damian had a great night for us. You know, that first half, he really carried us and helped us get out to that that lead, and we just couldn't sustain it in the second half, but he had a great night for us.
Has he started to solidify a place in the rotation for even beyond this year?
We don't even know who's going to be on the roster next year. I mean, we obviously like Damian, or we wouldn't have signed him long term. So he's a talented player and a great teammate, great professional, puts his work in every day. So a big part of our team, but next year is next year.
First impressions on Bender?
First impressions on Dragon Bender?
He's got a lot of skill. I mean, he saw him knock down a couple of shots, made some good passes. He's got good size, so not a bad night for a guy who literally hasn't had a practice with us. Flew in last night. You know, it'll be good for him to get a couple practices under his belt and get more comfortable as the week goes on.
Dragon Bender signed to a 10-day contract with the Warriors, and this is his first game playing with them. And he's a lanky, tall dude. He could, you know, he can try and shoot the three. And I've seen, you know, I think he played against the Warriors. I forgot who he was with, but I'd seen him play against the Warriors once, and I remember, well, of course, the name. The fact that your name is Dragon Bender makes you sound like it makes you sound like some sort of magician from the medieval times, but also the guy, he played smart, you know, and he gave a lot of effort, put in a lot of hustle, and that's what this team has been about for the past year. It's just trying to at least come out there with energy, you know, and that's what guys like how Amari Spellman brought. But, you know, he was obviously traded away, and that's what you didn't really see much from Jacob Evans. That's what you really didn't see from Willie Cauley-Stein. You want guys who can obviously not trying to – they obviously aren't going to simulate what the – they're not going to echo what the Warriors' starting rotation would do or what their starting lineup would do. But you do want these guys who most likely aren't going to be on your team in this next year, but you do want these rotational pieces playing the style of basketball that the Warriors play so that the guys who would be on the team next year can kind of get used to it. That's why you're hoping for Andrew Wiggins to play with Steph, because Steph is going to be the one who gets them used to this offense more than anyone else. And that's what they're trying to do, and it's not really been that successful in it, but at this point in the season, wins don't really matter. It's just more about getting these starters or whoever are going to be the rotational pieces used to this team. And from the 415, Wiggins is so soft. The Warriors pregame had him scoring 25 points. He wasn't even close. Wiggins I'm not going to call him soft. He's an NBA. He's a professional athlete. All right. A lot of professional athletes, even though you want to call them soft, they're not soft. Soft is not the right word. He had a bad game last night for sure. He had a very bad game last night. What were his stats? I'm looking at 3 for 16 last night with 8 points. He was a minus 19 on the floor. And last night was by far his worst game as a Warrior. But, I mean, we only have 6 games of Andrew Wiggins to really look at him. Like, can we at least give the guy a break? I mean, you're already calling him soft, and we're barely any time into his tenure with the Warriors. And going down like when you got guys like Zion Williamson on the floor, anyone would look soft. Anybody. Just to recap the show a little bit, though, went in a little on Fury and Wilder because I think that fight was just so entertaining. And this story with Madison Bumgarner having an atlas for roping cattle in the rodeo competitions in Arizona. I think that story is just so good because, you know, Madison Bumgarner, he's never really been that open with the media. So when you see something like that and you basically are saying the media ruined it, then, you know, it's like, yeah, probably. No wonder he's not on any sort of social media platform. And also brought up the 42-year-old emergency backup hockey goalie for the Carolina Hurricanes making his way into a game against the Maple Leafs on Saturday. And he was the first ever emergency backup goalie to record a win. And anytime something like that happens in the sports world, we are going to mention it on this show. But I will say this from Saturday's boxing match, though. If you watched that and you really weren't into boxing before, now me, I've always just been a guy who will watch the big fights every now and then. Anytime Pacquiao or Mayweather would be involved, or Canelo even would be involved, Triple G involved, I would watch that. But if you know, the heavyweight division, haven't watched much of it really. And I watched Wilder Fury 1, and watching Wilder Fury 2, I mean, that got me excited for what's to come in the heavyweight division, because this is going to be a good saga for Fury, Wilder, guys like Anthony Joshua, all that sort of stuff. Okay, coming up, big announcement for Joe Lo and Dibs. Coming up at 8:30, Warriors owner Joe Lacob will be in studio. So tune in for that. Joe Lo and Dibs coming up next.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all.
All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.